I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free with Minister Diane Jones. Ladies, this is the show that's here to give you stories of hope and healing from someone who has been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Plus, she's a virtuous woman who can help you find that woman in your life. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, here is your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Hey people, hello, hello. It's another day that the Lord has blessed us to see. I'm rejoicing. I'm glad in it. I've also been working most of the day. Thankfully, I'm on spring break from my job, my secular job, but I have been working on ETS needs pretty much the whole day. I've been trying to catch up on records and documentation. Sometimes I ask myself, why in the world did I do this to myself? By that I mean becoming incorporated and having to keep up those responsibilities, not ministry in itself, but I keep being reminded that I felt led to do that, that the Lord wanted me to be legit, so to speak, in the eyes of the land. It's important for us to, abide by the laws of the land, as long as those laws don't contradict the Word of God and cause us to sin. So in obedience, I did that. But it comes with extra responsibilities. So that's what I've been doing, and it's tedious, but in the other way of looking at it, I'm actually glad that I'm able to do it, because recapping the year, for example, my annual reports, it kind of helps me to really see, you know, what we've done. So I'm going to switch gears, though, and present tonight's topic to you. Our goal at Equipping the Saints Ministry is to equip the people of God to do the things that they are called to do with confidence, with boldness, and to impact our community. So that is one of the reasons that we do this outreach via radio. We hope to reach more people and impact their lives in a positive way, to offer them hope, to offer them healing, to offer them good sound direction and doctrine through various applicable ways. And one of the ways we approach topics is by current events, the current events that are going on around us every day, regularly. I take some of those events and I break them down and look at them from the biblical perspective and try to help people to apply those principles to their own life, to show how not doing so, to show how when people do the opposite of what God requires, the mess that it causes, the mess and the trauma and the erosion of moral standards and so forth and so on that it causes. But when we do things God's way, yes, we do still deal with trials We do still suffer wrongs because of living in a fallen world, but it does simplify. It does simplify the meaning of life, your purpose in life. It gives you a roadmap, and to me, those things provide hope. So tonight's topic, I was trying to get to last week, but I put too much on my plate for last week. So now tonight, I am going to talk about, what did I call this? Did I even give it a title? Let me see. The stubborn, rebellious, I'm going to say child, but I think that this reference, I'm going to say child, but this can be from a child to a youth, to a young, what modern society calls teenager, what the Bible refers to as a lad or a handmaiden, which would be a very young person, you know, a young person past their change of life, if you will, menses. You know, in the Bible, you weren't a teenager. You went from being a child to a young adult, okay? So this applies to that range, from the child to the young adult, all right? The stubborn, rebellious child slash young adult, and the consequences, the consequences. And the reason I decided to do this topic was because I was watching on Facebook a story that popped up. It was a Sunday morning, and I had actually planned to spend the morning doing some personal study. And first thing, though, in the morning, I saw this story that popped up on Facebook because I was checking my phone for my emails and different things like that. And I'm telling you, the story popped up. The story was old. It was dated from January 29th, 2024. And it was called the Tennessee High School Incident. That's what they called it. Oh, my goodness. I watched this video, and I was so troubled. I was so stirred. I was so provoked watching this video that I began to engage in conversation with the others who had watched the video. Some people had posted comments. I think I looked at a few of the comments, but then I posted my own, which I'm going to read to you. But let me tell you what the video was about first so that you can understand my frustration. Oh, my goodness. I already know what the Word of God says about this, all right? But just seeing it and seeing it more, this video was not the only video that I have seen recently, but this one just re-stirred me and re-provoked me. In this video, there was a young man, some people referring to him as a child and a boy, and no, he was a young man because it was... It appeared to be high school level, okay? It said high school incident, so it appeared to be high school level. He was in a gym. When you first began to see the video, it looks like there is a couple of adult males talking to him. I'm not sure if they were all coaches or if some of them were coaches, but it was in the gym. It certainly had to do with the PE teacher in the gym. They were talking to him because he was refusing to cooperate with the classroom assignment that day. He was loud and he was cursing and he was telling them, "I told you I'm sick. I told you I'm sick. What in bleep bleep don't you understand about what I said? I am sick, and I am going to go up to the top of the bleachers and lay down, And when I feel more like myself, I will come down and let you know. This is how you enter this video. And one of the men was saying to him, you need to calm your voice down. You need to keep your voice down. We hear what you're saying, but that's not the way this goes. And he was saying, I don't give a so-and-so how this is supposed to go. I told you I'm sick. So out the gate, now this is where I entered at. So I'll tell you what some of the other comments of people were later on. But to me, those comments were irrelevant. He was openly defying several of these adults and telling them what he was and was not going to do. So then you hear an officer of some sort. I don't know if he was the school security, I believe he was an actual police officer because of how things ended up. But you hear at some point the officer enters the scene and he begins to say, you know, let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. And the young man is like, you ain't got nothing to say to me. You ain't got nothing to say to me. I told them I'm going up to these bleachers. I'm going to rest until I feel good. That's the way it's going to be. You ain't got nothing to say to me. They ain't got nothing else to say to me. If they want to say something else to me, they can talk to my lawyer. This is this young man in high school that I am certain has no money to pay a lawyer himself, okay? They could talk to my lawyer if they don't like it and if I ain't got nothing else to say to you all. So the officer begins to tell him, no, you need to come with me. You need to go outside. You're disturbing the class. I'm not disturbing the class. He retaliates with, I'm not disturbing nobody. But yet he's talking loud, swinging his arms. You can see activity is still going on in the background. You can see other kids are still shooting hoops and things like that. But he is still talking loud and being disruptive. And he's telling the police officer he's not going outside. Oops, it's break time. I was watching it and not paying attention. I'll be back.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Equipping the Saints Ministries. Our mission is to equip and mature the people God calls to do the things they are called to do with confidence and boldness, to create soldiers for the army of the Lord, and to impact our communities. We are home-based in Waldorf, Maryland. If you would like more information, you may email us at etsministriesinc@gmail.com or write to us at ETS Post Office Box 72, Waldorf, Maryland 20602. If you are not local, you may participate via conference calls and we can make information available to you by email. ETS. The Story of Me is a captivating and inspiring account of a woman able to overcome incest, physical abuse, abandonment, and neglect to find a second chance at happiness. It is a story for those who have been rejected, who have dreamt and fallen short, who have survived traumas such as molestation, rape, or incest. The Story of Me is very inspirational for those who may find themselves in Jones's story. You may purchase your copy of The Story of Me online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, or any of the major bookstores. The Story of Me.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet.com. The show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Okay, I am talking to you about the stubborn, rebellious, young person and the consequences of being that way. Okay, I'm telling a story based on a video that I watched dated 1/29/24, and in this situation the young man began to defy not only the teachers or coaches or whatever they were that were initially talking to him, but someone apparently called the police because of his behavior, his defiant, disruptive behavior. And then the police came on the scene, and he continued to defy the police officer. The police officer was asking him, let's go outside so we can talk about this. He told the police officer no, that he was going to go up there to the top of the bleachers, like he said. And I can't remember if it was before he went to the top of the bleachers or after, but at some point the police officer, you couldn't see it in the video, but the police officer apparently touched him somewhere. I might have touched him on his shoulder based on how the police responded, but he touched him to try to just, it wasn't like an aggressive touch. It was just a touch like, hey, because he was telling him, come on, calm down. Like, why are you behaving this way? Come on, we're just trying to talk to you. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what's wrong. And he started cussing the police officer out, telling him to get his so-and-so hands off of him, told him, you got 5 seconds to get your hands off of me. Don't touch me. Or the cop then switched from being, I'm trying to see what's wrong, to more of an authoritative voice and said, like, what? Like, or else what? Like, what are you threatening me? He said, are you threatening me? And the guy was like, well, I'm not threatening you. I'm just letting you know. And he told the cop he wasn't going to do what he said. And he turned and walked away from the cop and started to advance up the bleachers, okay? So the cop followed him up the bleachers, letting him know that the teachers they don't want you in the class at this point. At this point, we've gone past trying to see what's wrong with you. They don't want you in the class. So now, if you don't come with me, I'm going to arrest you. And he said, for what? The young man was like, for what? For what? He said, for being disorderly, for disorderly conduct. He continued to argue. I think you get the picture. I'm not disorderly. I'm this, I'm that, and the other. The camera kept jumping, so you could tell that the video may have been, edited. And there were times that you couldn't see what was actually happening because the camera was moving too fast. But it looked like, and it turned out by the later conversation, that the cop pepper sprayed him, put him in handcuffs, had him on the floor, all because he was disorderly and even resisting arrest. This, I see so much of this nowadays until it is disturbing. It is literally disturbing to my spirit. it disturbs me when I see it in adults, because I see videos of adults behaving this way, where the cops come up on the scene because they've been called to a house, or they come up on a highway situation, or like a drunk driver, or a tag that's outdated, or some sort of a moving violation, and the person in the vehicle just automatically begins to start questioning them like they're the authority. Like, how can I help you? But not in a, not in a respectful manner, but like, okay, so why are you bothering me? And the cop will say, well, do you know why I pulled you over? And they're like, no. And then the cop will start telling them, and then they say, okay, well, I didn't know that. But they think that they're still supposed to just go on about their business. People that are sloppy drunk, people that have called the cops for certain situations, and then the table flips on them because they, I know the law. You don't have no business asking me questions. You don't have no business. I know my rights. I don't have to give you my ID, so forth and so forth and so on. Well, this young man was acting the same way. It's like he drank from the same Kool-Aid that everybody else seems to be drinking who behave like this. And I noticed an increase in this type of behavior after the George Floyd incident, because to me, it just opened the door spiritually for people to think that now they can defy the law because of what happened with the George Floyd incident, and because society as a whole and even the courts upheld George Floyd's behavior. They praised, they made excuses for, they sided with the criminal behavior, the deviant behavior, made excuses and praised him, and therefore sided with evil, okay, and immorality. But back to this story. Young man ended up on the floor in handcuffs, pepper sprayed. Then somehow they must have released his hands because he was asking to call his dad or something like that, because then you see a clip of him calling his dad on the phone, and he doesn't tell his dad what he did leading up to getting manhandled. See, he wanted to step into the shoes of a man and defy authority, defy all the men there. He got manhandled, okay? He doesn't tell his dad what happened leading to that. He just tells his dad, I just got thrown around by this police officer and put in handcuffs. And of course, he's not even an honest person. He's manipulating the situation. Of course, you hear dad say, what? And he's like, yeah, I got thrown around by these police, and dad is like, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm not okay. I got thrown around by these. And dad says, well, I'll be there. Tell me what happened when I get there. Dad shows up to the school. The police officer meets him outside. The video switches to the police officer talking to the dad outside, telling the dad what happened. The dad says, now the police officer told him blow by blow what happened, how he defied the teachers, how he refused to cooperate, how he was cussing, this and that and the other. But then the dad says, now this is all in the gym too, then the dad says, were there any witnesses? I said to myself, didn't you just hear what the police said? But the police officer said, yes, there was a few witnesses, as a matter of fact. And the dad enters. He says, let's go on inside. And so the dad goes right over to the young man and doesn't really say much. He just takes the backpack off the young man. Oh, I forgot to mention that. That part of the issue, too, that came up once the young man walked away from the officer told him, well, now you're under arrest and I need you to remove your backpack. Because I cannot allow you to keep your backpack on when I'm detaining you while you're being handcuffed. And the young man refused also to take the backpack off. He refused. He told him he wasn't taking it off. Okay. So dad walks in. Dad just goes right over to him. The young man don't say nothing. Dad takes the backpack off of his shoulders, puts it on the ground, and then he starts asking the police officer, you know, now, so is he still arrested at this point? Does he have to go? Does he have to be arrested? Police says yes. Yes, he's under arrest. He's going to go to juvenile hall, okay? So I told you the video. I was so upset by this. I was so upset by this because I know God's standard when it comes to this kind of behavior. I know how me and my husband raised our children because of our belief in God, how we raised our children. And I know that there was a time that other parents raised their children this way. But watching this was just a reminder to me of how our society has gotten so far off track, so far away from godly values, from respect for authority, from respecting your elders, from respecting your parents, from so many things that it truly troubled me. So I responded with this post. There was other people writing things, but I responded with this post, and hopefully I have a time to read the whole post to you. I said, so hard to watch this mess, exclamation mark. In biblical times, and even in some modern cultures, this young man would qualify for being stoned for his incorrigible behavior, exclamation mark. Therefore, this kind of behavior wasn't/isn't prevalent in those cultures. I'm ad-libbing here. It was a deterrent. It was a deterrent, okay? In today's times, people are so messed up, they think he deserves respect. He thinks he deserves respect. That's why this mess is happening more and more. Looks like I'm going to run out of time before the break. I'm going to have to pick it up after the break. If he felt sick, he should have asked to go to the nurse's office. Not tell the coach he's going to sit on the bleachers until he feels like himself. I'll pick it up after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
A black nurse. This narrative is about the struggles of being a black woman and a black professional in a society bound with racial and gender bias. She has hopes, dreams, needs, a purpose and aspirations, but faces constant opposition to fulfilling these basic human requirements. Like so many people of color before her, she achieves some measure of success, but her success is minor compared to what she must do to achieve it. It's time for a change. Get your copy today from AuthorHouse.com, this show's host page, or any major book retailer like Amazon.com. A black nurse.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on Toginet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on Toginet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
All right, people, I am still talking about the stubborn, rebellious youth, okay? And I'm reading from my post, the post that My first post, I should say, because I ended up posting several posters, I actually ended up being involved in this conversation for hours, from morning till evening. That's how troubled I was about this subject. So my first post, let me pick it back up where I left off at. If he felt sick, he should have requested to go to the nurse's office, not tell the coach he's going to sit on the bleachers until he feels like himself. He's being defiant to all the adults, and he's still wet behind the ears. That's an old saying that they used to say when I was coming up, when a boy was young and defiant. They would tell him he was behaving mannishly, and it was a negative term for being too grown. And then wet behind the ears meant that he still didn't even know how to take care of himself. You know, he's barely changing, if you will, and blossoming into a man, but he's trying to regulate things, okay? I went on to say, I came from a broken home, but I still was taught to respect adults, for example, teachers, especially my parents. Because I was raised that way, I raised my children to respect me and other adults, I should say, me and Chris. I taught them to let me know if an adult mistreated them, because they are not on the same level as that adult. By some of the comments that these people made, I see and you'll hear that they felt like this young man was justified in his behavior. Some of the dads were even saying, I've taught my son to stand up for himself and to speak up for himself, and there was nothing wrong with his behavior. And no. According to scripture, and God is the authority, that is not correct. That is not correct. So I went on to say, I taught my children to let me know, to let us know if an adult mistreated them, because they are not on the same level as that adult. And then we would step in and deal with that adult to adult. I would deal with that adult on their behalf, for example, at school. Okay? This young man is clearly not being taught anything about true respect. He clearly doesn't want an education. He can't learn from anyone he doesn't respect. In addition to going to jail, he needs to be expelled until he and his parents apologize to the school, admin, the whole class involved, including the teachers, for his horrible behavior, and he fulfills any punishment ordered by the court. That was my first comment. Interestingly, I don't know if it was because I led out with the discussion about the biblical context, but nobody responded to that one at all. At all, okay? But my next comment, let me go back up to my next comment. Somebody, one of the fathers said, as a father of sons myself, I was very impressed with the dad for the way he dealt with the cop and with his own son. Now, like I told you, the dad comes in, he asks the cop, is there any witnesses? The cop says, oh yeah, there's quite a few witnesses. Then they skip and show you, you know, the dad going over to the son, taking the backpack off, not saying much. Really, he was very calm and quiet, not saying much. But then he's asking, okay, does he have to be arrested? And the cop says yes. Well, this father and others felt that this was very honorable and impressive because the dad kept his cool, because he didn't display some of the bad behavior that we do see when parents come on the scene and they proceed to cuss out the school officials and the cop and act like they ain't got no sense. Well, I was still troubled by the fact that in my day, and probably before my time, my parent or someone else's parent would have come up to that school and in front of the teachers, in front of the students, probably would have grabbed the boy by the ear, the young man. I don't want to call him a boy because he's a high schooler. Probably would have grabbed him by the ear and made him turn around and apologize to everybody for being disrespectful and uncooperative. Might have even said, go ahead and take him to jail. Or they might have said, officer, I guarantee you this won't happen again if you just let me handle it. Okay? It could have gone either way. Some parents, if they'd have been dealing with this too much, they'd have said, he needs to learn a lesson. Go ahead and take him to jail. I've been trying to teach him and he ain't listening. Another scenario would have been, no, officer, please, give me a chance. I'm going to handle this. You ain't going to have this problem again. So I wasn't impressed with the father's actions because the father didn't show one way or the other whether he felt that the young man's behavior was wrong. Okay? So I responded and I said, that's sad. A good father teaches his own son not to disrespect adults. If this dad was doing that, this would have never happened. My son is 36 and he has never behaved this way with any teacher or authority figure. That's because my husband and I taught him well. Oh, my husband, there's no way. I mean, even before I came into my son's life, I could see when I met them, there's no way my husband was a military man. He didn't grow up in the military, but he became a military man. And he grew up in a very religious household to a fault in some ways because his parents were so strict that they didn't even allow them to have feelings. And I don't agree with that. They didn't allow them to have feelings. They didn't teach them how to speak up for themselves in the proper way or in the wrong way. They just shut them down, just oppressed them, because that's how a lot of religious parents were. But anyway, this was my comment. And now that remark got quite a few comments. It was roughly 253 comments. The majority of them were likes, like 161 of them were likes. 20 of them were loves, hearts, 64 were laughs, 4 were mad, 3 were surprised, 1 was sad with tears. So the majority, I would say, were still likes. Like, what is that, 181 out of 253? Yeah. No, I might not be doing my math right. 181. Yeah. Anyway, got a response on that. So that is what continued the conversation back and forth, these posting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so what I wanted to convey to these people, though, is where I was getting my frame of mind from, where I was getting my point of view from. And that is from Scripture. Okay? God is the authority. God created mankind. God created the family. He created the relationship, the whole system of family, mother, father, children. You know, the children are to honor their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents are not supposed to provoke their children to wrath, particularly the fathers. God created all of that, okay? And in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, I have it pulled up here. It clearly tells us about the stubborn and rebellious son. All right? Now, some people might say, well, he wasn't being rebellious to his dad. Well, those other men, I'm sure, were dads. If they weren't all, some of them were. Okay, so we were still taught to respect our elders, period. Respect adults, period. So Deuteronomy 21 and 18 says, If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, this is the King James Version, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. In other words, he will not be corrected. It doesn't mean that your youth doesn't ever act up. But in other words, they will not be corrected. They will not change, you know, and respond appropriately. Verse 19 says, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of this place. 20, and they shall say unto the elders of this city, this is our son. This is what God required the parents to do for their own son. This is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is glutton and a drunkard. So in addition to his stubbornness and his rebelliousness, he was also apparently a glutton and a drunkard, which is makes it even worse. So these kids that are strung out on drugs, basically, same thing, okay? And all the men of this city shall stone him, this is verse 21, with stones that he die, so shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. This is the perspective that I was coming from. And of course, I know that Christians, we are not under the law anymore. Deuteronomy was part of the law. It was under the Old Testament covenant. I realize that. But the fact that God feels that way about this has not changed. It's still a severe offense. And there's a reason that it's a severe offense. And I'll reiterate it after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Millions of people are sexually abused each and every day. Not just by rape, child molesters, or pedophiles, but by choice and through lifestyle preferences. Who would enjoy being raped again and again? Why is rape spiritual as well as physical? Can a sex offender be healed from abusing others? Find answers to these and other questions in the pages of Overcoming Sexual Abuse by Minister Diane Jones. Available online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, and any major bookstore. Overcoming Sexual Abuse.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet.com. The show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Okay, I am talking to you about the stubborn, rebellious youth. Okay. And just before the break, I was reading to you from Deuteronomy 20 and 21, And the answer is at the end of that verse. Why was the punishment so severe? Why did God feel so strongly about this kind of behavior? The answer is in the verse. It says, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. In not correcting this kind of behavior, it would only spread and cause more evil. It would only cause the kinds of things that we see even today, even in modern society, like this young man and how he was behaving. If people are running around defying order, defying authority, defying the laws, you know, they're high, they're drunk, they're defiant, they're not working, they're not productive, they're people do a lot of things when they're under the influence that are evil and wicked, okay? They steal, they are slothful, they rape, they do all kinds of wicked things when they're under the influence of a substance, okay? So if this kind of behavior was allowed to go on, it would just erode the society. It would erode the community. And then that is what we're seeing now. That is what we're seeing now. Some of the comments, I mean, oh man, I was so troubled by this. But some of the comments, like I said, I went back and forth for a while because I felt this strong about this issue. And some of the comments that people were making, though, were things like this. They disagree. For example, here's a woman that responded to me. I disagree. I think Dad showed complete restraint, showed respect, and did you notice how Junior got real quiet and compliant once Dad showed up? Maybe Junior got compliant with Dad, but he sure wasn't respecting nobody else. How are you saying that that's good? How can anyone still say that that's good if Dad has only taught him to fear him, perhaps? To fear him, but not anybody else, not any other adult, okay? Then she says, Dad is doing his job at home, and I'm sure Junior is going to regret it when he gets home. Even the best parents can have a little shit. I'm not going to say it. No, I firmly disagree. I thought about some of these comments. This person said, do you see the dad disrespecting anyone? He didn't learn that attitude from Dad, that's for sure. That's not what Scripture says. Someone laughed and said, authority, like, he's not supposed to respect authority. This guy did three laughing faces. Like, others were saying things like, the teachers went overboard. The coaches went overboard. That this young man deserves to be respected. If they want respect, then they have to respect this young man. I mean, this is so far off from Scripture, okay? So far off from God's standard till it's troubling. Some said, you didn't see what your son did. You got played. You think that your son, you know, didn't disrespect the teachers and authority figures. You got played. And I responded and said, I'm sure that if his teachers, if he would have acted like that, especially in my day in school, his teachers would have told us. Okay. And I never said he didn't ever do anything wrong at all. Some of them took it to that extreme. You don't know everything that your son did. You just think that you know, which I never said. I said I didn't have to know everything that my son ever did. That's not the point that I'm making. The point is that we follow the word of God and we taught our kids to respect us, to respect others, even their peers, but to certainly respect adults, to respect seniors. That was my point, that you train your children there's a scripture that actually tells us that, and I didn't, I wrote it down, but I didn't take the time to look it up. You guys can look it up. That tells you, train your child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. So all these different ones who did start coming back at me and disagreeing with me, sadly, were only showing me how immoral they are. Some were saying, you can raise your child. You can raise children in the same household, and they'll behave totally different. One will be fine and the other one won't. I know that that happens. My son and daughter had totally different personalities. They had their own issues raising them. I had to rely heavily on the Lord to undo some of the training that I received even, and even some of the training in how I was raised. I had to undo some of it in raising them. But you can be sure that across the board, they were still taught that they better respect me. They better respect their dad, and they better respect others. Across the board, you can be sure I still did what the Word of God said. And to my knowledge, neither one of them ever behaved that way. Now, they may have had, well, not they may, they did have their other issues. We did have our other challenges. But I was responding to what was happening in this video. And some of these people tried to take it up the street and around the corner in different places. Okay? But I stand on what the Word of God says. Train them in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. Now, we can't stone them like they did under the old covenant. For a lot of us, that would probably be very, very hard for us to do, because our culture has changed so much to where we're soft on sin. And we think that we're being loving when we're soft on sin. Well, God was not soft on sin. He had a plan for redemption. He did offer mercy, but he also dealt with certain sins that he knew were going to corrupt society. He dealt with them harshly, and that's for a reason, okay? Of course, nowadays, you know, I'm sure it was happening then too, but I don't think as on such a greater scale. Under the law, because there were consequences. But traumas, you know, sometimes traumas cause children, youth, to rebel, to act out. We understand, I'm sure God understands those kinds of reactions. But that's not the basic of this commandment. Okay, that's not the foundation for this commandment, okay? In a situation like that, of course, there would be the need to restore and to heal and to pour into that young person and try to heal those traumas. But if they still refuse, if they continue to rebel and refuse to accept the love and the restoration, then the same thing would apply to them. But the bottom line is that parents need to train their children. We need to pull the rein back. In one of the comments, I said to someone, I was like, in my time, the teacher not only would have probably grabbed them by the ear, but they probably would have paddled, if the person was young enough, they probably would have paddled them. The deans used to paddle. They had paddles when I was in junior high school. They still paddled you, okay? Okay? They would take you home. Your parents would whoop you on top of getting paddled, all right? You were going to go apologize to that teacher. You were going to go apologize to that adult, okay? Some of that needs to return. Now, because our society has defied God and changed the rules about whippings, whippings when the Bible does tell you that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So now we have to find creative ways to get the point across. But you still need to get the point across, parents. In one of my comments, I said to someone how parents are giving kids way too much. They're giving them way too much. They're spoiling them. They're spoiling them because they're not teaching them a work ethic. They're giving them. I talked about how I was 11 years old and I was already washing cars, mowing lawns with my brother, edging up lawns and helping my brother with lawn work to make extra money. You know, there's ways to get your point across, to teach your child respect, work ethics, the value. Here this young man is mouthing off about talking to his lawyer when you know good and well he ain't paying for no lawyer. His parents are obviously the ones who have a lawyer. But he's thinking he's so entitled because his parents have a lawyer. No way, Jose. Our parents took care of our needs, but they didn't have the means to just give us whatever we wanted, and thank God they didn't, because if we wanted extra, we had to work for it. And in doing so, it taught us good work ethics. It taught us to be appreciative. It taught us not to be entitled, like so much of what you see nowadays. So I just wanted to talk about the stubborn, rebellious youth, the trend that we are seeing in our society now, and how it needs to, this needs to change. This needs to stop. I don't know that it will, but I'm doing my part to address the situation. I hope that just a one or two, just somebody will put the brakes on and change, so that this doesn't continue to erode our society. Until next time, God be with you.
Part of I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones on TogiNet. Ladies, this is your chance to join us for stories of hope and healing from someone who's been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet, in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a straight-up show to enlighten and to lighten your load. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. For more information on Diane and her book, go to her show page here on TogiNet and email her directly. Then, get set to join us here again next Monday night for I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free, with Minister Diane Jones. Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.